The Lord be with you. We think interruptions get in the way of our life, but interruptions are how God gets into our life. And to explain what I mean by that, I want to talk about children, particularly about how inconvenient they are. I have a daughter. Her name is Sophia. She is 4 years old. She is an absolute delight in the right circumstances. But 2 years ago, I had the privilege of going on a sabbatical, and as part of that sabbatical, I had the trip of a lifetime. I got to go to Greece for 2 weeks to practice my ancient Greek, which I had studied since college. And as part of my time in Greece, the class took a field trip to a place called Mycenae. And if you don't know anything about Mycenae, that's okay. You may have heard of the Trojan War. Mycenae was the epicenter of Greek culture during the Trojan War because the whole war started when a woman named Helen runs off with a Trojan. But Helen had been married to a man born in Mycenae, and that man's brother was the king of Mycenae, a guy named Agamemnon, who rallied the Greek cities to go to war against Troy. Half of Greek tragedies are about Agamemnon's family because, you see, Agamemnon, he had some plans and he did whatever was necessary to fulfill them, including getting good winds to sail to Troy, which meant sacrificing his daughter, literally. His wife did not appreciate that. So when Agamemnon came back from Troy, his wife killed him. Their son did not appreciate that. So their son killed their mom. All to say, Mycenae is a great place for history and a terrible place for families, but I brought mine. Brought my wife and my daughter, who at the time was 2 years old. And I was very excited to bring them because in Mycenae, they have this museum where they have all these beautiful artifacts that they have found there, including what is called the Mask of Agamemnon. This is the Mask of Agamemnon. It is made out of gold. It's a death mask, the imprint of a king's face when he died. And this was on the cover of my copy of the Iliad when I was in college. I was so excited to see it, and Sophia was so excited to see how fast she could run from one end of the museum to the other end of the museum. And if she needed to bounce off display cases or run between the legs of guards, that didn't matter to her. Children are so inconvenient because their priorities are not our priorities, and our plans are not their plans, and they have no qualms about interrupting our lives. Today in Matthew 1, we hear how Joseph's life is radically interrupted by a child. A child who, if they'd been born just a few months later, wouldn't have been an interruption at all. If Joseph's fiancée, Mary, had gotten pregnant just a few months later after they'd consummated their marriage, everyone would have rejoiced to hear that she was pregnant. But she got pregnant just a little bit too soon. And so Joseph has to wrestle with the fact that his fiancée is pregnant and he is not the father of the child. And what that means is all the plans he had for his life, the plans he had for his marriage and for his family and what life would look like in his village, they become more shattered than a 3,000 piece of jewelry would be if knocked over by a toddler. Friends, we make all sorts of plans, and we hold on to them carefully. We have to make plans because if you want to get anything big in life done, you've got to make a plan to do it. And I am chief among people who like to make plans. In fact, every week I know I have to write a sermon, and so what I do is I go and hide. I go hide because if I write my sermon here in the office, people will come in asking to talk to me, and if I go home, I have a toddler who will ask to talk to me, and so I go hide into depths of the CSU library where no one can find me, and I can avoid all interruptions. Yeah. And that's what we try to do, right? We try to avoid interruptions for our plans, even when our plans maybe aren't that spectacular. Maybe our plans even aren't all that good. At the beginning of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, there is a king in Jerusalem, the king of Judah, and his name is Ahaz. And he's got a problem, which is that two other kings are attacking him, two kings to small kingdoms to the north of him. I've got a map here. So Ahaz is king of Judah, which is the southern part of Israel, but the northern kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Syria are attacking him to force Ahaz to join them in a coalition against the rising threat of the Assyrian Empire, which is taking over the Middle East. Ahaz doesn't want to join their plan, because Ahaz has his own plan to deal with Assyria, and his plan is to buddy up with Assyria, to just buddy up with the bully, which is maybe not the best plan, but it is his plan. It lets him feel like he's in control of his life and his kingdom. And so when God suddenly comes and says to him, I've got another plan for you, Ahaz gets a little bit nervous. Because in the verses before what we read today, God says to Ahaz, Ahaz, don't worry about geopolitics. Don't worry about those northern kingdoms that are attacking you. Trust in me. I will take care of you. And to convince Ahaz, we hear God say today, ask for a sign. It can be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. God is saying, whatever you need for me to convince you to trust my plan instead of yours, just say the word and I'll do it for you. Ahaz's response is to say, no thanks. He says it much more politely than that. He quotes Deuteronomy and saying, oh, I know I should not put the Lord my God to the test. But what he's really saying is, God, I've got a plan to handle this. And I don't want to invite you into my life, because inviting God into your life is like inviting a toddler. You never know what's going to happen. And God's response is to say, oh yeah? Well, I will give you a sign even if you don't want it. And the sign that I will give you is a toddler. Now, once again, God uses prettier language than this, right? God has the prophet Isaiah, through whom God is speaking, point to a young woman who is pregnant and say, this young woman will bear a child and she's going to name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And before this child, by the time this child can have solid food, and by the time this child knows what is right from wrong, which is to say, by the time this child is a toddler, those two kings that you are scared of, their lands will be deserted. God is saying to King Ahaz, trust me, and if you can't trust me, put your trust in this toddler. And I will say, God using a toddler for the sign that God is with us is absolutely brilliant, because toddlers are incredibly difficult to ignore, and I know this firsthand, because after we went through that museum in Mycenae, we started to walk up the ruins of Mycenae as a class. There's a picture of them there. But here's the thing. We had already spent the morning walking up a whole nother mountain of ruins, and then we had driven 3 hours to this set of ruins. Sophia had missed her nap, and she was an hour past her regular dinner time. She was melting down. And it became clear to me that if I let her sit down, she would throw rocks, and if I picked her up to carry her, she would throw a tantrum. And I realized there was no way she was going to make it up these ruins of Mycenae. But I had one shot to go see these ruins, a trip of a lifetime, and I had a plan to savor them. And all my plan required me to do was to send the toddler back to the bus to sit there alone with her mom, who is, of course, the love of my life. And I know now that that's a terrible idea. I know now, because when I suggested it to my wife, she threatened to reenact some of those Greek tragedies. But it is essentially what King Ahaz tries to do. He says, God, you're going to give me a toddler. I'm just going to ignore it and go ahead with my plan anyway. We never hear what happens to that child, Emmanuel, in King Ahaz's day. He just ignores it and goes ahead with his plan. But here's the thing. Even when we aren't faithful to God, God is faithful to us. And so God says, just as God promised, in a few years, those northern kings are wiped out and are no danger to King Ahaz. But because King Ahaz went ahead with his plan, and he buddied up to to the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire takes him by the shoulder and says, good, now we're friends and you're going to do whatever I say, including handing over all the treasure of Jerusalem to the Assyrians and receiving the religion of Assyria in Jerusalem. Friends, we try so hard to make sure that our plans are the ones that come to pass. We make sure in our life that our life plan goes according to schedule. These holidays are coming up. I'm sure you all have plans that you want to go smoothly. Even as we run errands, we try to avoid interruptions. But the very best we can hope for when we protect our plans is that it's our plans that come to pass. Friends, God has such better plans for us. 700 years after King Ahaz refuses to accept the promise of a child, Emmanuel, an angel shows up to Joseph in a dream and says that God once again is going to give the promise of a child, Emmanuel. But this time, the child is not just going to be born from a young woman. The child is going to be born from a virgin to show that God's plans are capable of doing what our plans could never even imagine. And while this child may be Emmanuel, God with us, the angel says the child shall be named Jesus, which is a form of the name Joshua, which means God saved. And the angel clarifies that this child is not going to save us from foreign kings. This child is going to save us from our sins, from our sin of believing that we have our life so well figured out that any interruption to it is getting in the way of our life, instead of realizing that those interruptions are how God gets into our life, how God pries our fingers off of the plans that we have and lets God's plan come instead. 700 years after Ahaz refuses the child Emmanuel, Joseph accepts it. Joseph believes the angel in the dream and marries his fiancée and names the child Jesus, a sign that he has adopted the child as his own. And in accepting Jesus, Joseph accepts all the interruptions that come with having a child in your life, but even more, he accepts all the interruptions that come with having the Christ child in your life. He accepts that his child has to be born in a manger. He accepts that strange magi from a foreign land are going to show up to his doorstep unannounced. He accepts that he has to flee to Egypt when King Herod comes trying to kill his child. And he accepts that for the rest of his life, the people in Nazareth will refer to Jesus not as the son of Joseph, but as the son of Mary. Because who knows who the dad really is? Joseph accepts all of that. He accepts it with incredible focus. He never once complains. In fact, in all of Scripture, Joseph is never once recorded as speaking a single word. He simply accepts what God gives him. The great theologian C.S. Lewis says, "The truth, of course, is that what we perceive as interruptions are in fact real life, the real life that God is sending one day by day. And what we consider real life is just a phantom of our imagination." Now, it is important to remember C.S. Lewis lived at a time when you didn't get spam calls and you didn't get notifications on your phone, right? Those things are just distractions that take us away from being present to the life that God gives us. But the interruptions that require us to put aside our plans and be present to what is real, to what is right here in front of us, to what God has given us, that is God breaking into our life. And that is what I discovered at Mycenae. Because our family walked up as far as the gates of the city, and we got our picture there in front of those gates of that place where so many families had sacrificed their members to achieve their plans. But we chose instead to turn back, all three of us together. And we went to a roadside vendor, and we got some crackers, and we got some juice, and we went to the bus and watched the sun set, and we had a little Eucharist of sorts. And it was one of the most memorable moments of that whole trip, because in that moment, I remembered what life is really about. You see, I could look at pictures of artifacts online or look at maps of Mycenae, but the only way that I could experience the love of my family was to let them interrupt me. This week, we celebrate that Jesus, God, comes to us as a child, Emmanuel. Christ comes to us as a child because God is inconvenient and demanding of our attention and ruins all the plans, but God comes to us as a child because in the end, that Christ child is all that really matters. Friends, you have plans. Of course you do. You need them. You have plans for your life and you have plans for the holidays that come ahead. But friends, when your plans are interrupted, may you look in those interruptions for the Christ child. And may you remember that those interruptions aren't getting in the way of your life. They are God getting into your life. Amen.